Turn, if you will, to 2 Timothy 3, 1. This is not really a text, but I think it is a good precedent, even if you're preaching a topical sermon, to begin with the reading of God's Word. I want to read two portions of Scripture. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. Paul says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And then you don't need to turn there, but 2 Peter 3:3, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust." I want to speak to you on the subject of the last days. Now, I'm going to warn you that what I'm going to say may be different than you're used to hearing. It may sound different, have a different twist to it, and you'll just have to study to see what is true. And when I say different, I don't mean different necessarily than what Brother Jim teaches, but different than we just hear all around us. The last days is a very common phrase. It is a biblical phrase, but it's a phrase that preachers seem to love, especially preachers that claim to be prophecy experts. Now, a prophecy expert is not someone who knows all the answers. A prophecy expert is someone who hadn't learned what the questions is. That's why he's capable of referring himself to a prophecy expert. No one who even knows the questions would dare claim such a thing as to be an expert in prophecy. I have tried to understand what men mean when they say the last days, because really you don't hear it defined. They just use the phrase. And I would gather that commonly when you hear the phrase "the last days" used, that what they mean is that the last days is a short period of time before the rapture, in which evil greatly increases, and in which we don't expect to see many blessings of God on the preaching of the gospel. Now, this lends itself to prophecy experts. First of all, if the last days is a short period of time before the rapture, we can begin to prophesy ourselves. We can study the newspaper, and since it's just a short time till the rapture, maybe we can figure out who the Antichrist is. Because you know, it's a short time before the rapture, so the events that are happening now may well lead in to future events like the second coming of Christ or the Battle of Armageddon. I personally believe that we ought to study Bible prophecy and leave the prophesying to the prophets. Most men, when they claim to be prophecy experts, what they actually do, they're not students of prophecy. They like to prophesy themselves and try to imagine that they know who the Antichrist is or what's going to lead to what. Another problem that I have with the usual use of the word "last days" is it creates an unbiblical pessimism. We say these are the last days. We don't expect great numbers to be saved. We don't expect the churches to grow. Now, this isn't, to me, an unscriptural pessimism. There's no biblical reason for making statements like that. Now, as we get into this subject, first of all, let me use a few words and explain what I mean by them. We use the word prophecy. We say the study of prophecy. I don't like to use big words in church, but we would be better to use the word eschatology. Now, let me explain why I say that. There are prophecies in Genesis that are fulfilled in Exodus. They have nothing to do with future prophecy. Eschatology, the Greek word eschatos, means last. So eschatology is the doctrine of last things. And you'll see that that is a very significant concept. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus is called the last Adam. Well, that's the eschatos Adam, the eschatos man. In eschatology, or the study of last things, Well, you'll see the significance of that, I hope, as we go. In talking about the last days, we talk about last. Well, you have to ask yourself, last in relation to what? You see, we're all very self-centered in our attention. So everybody thinks last days in regard to me. The last days, for some reason, we all think we're real special. We live in special days. We hear people say it's never been as evil as it is today. You haven't read much history, have you? You read history and you'll find out that's just not so. I mean, you go back to ancient Carthage and they were burning their children on the arms of a molten god. And you go back to ancient Rome. Where do we get the idea that we're just special? We're more evil than anybody ever was. That's just not so. But we ask the question, last in respect to what? The real answer to that question is last in respect to the Old Testament. You see, last days, that's an Old Testament expression. And let me explain what is meant by that. First of all, let's get Saul of Tarsus, not the Apostle Paul, but Saul of Tarsus, that old unsaved Pharisee. And let's call him in and set him down and say, now tell us about your eschatology, your doctrine of last things. What do you believe? Saul of Tarsus would have said, well, you see, there's this age, this evil age in which we live. And then there's the age to come. And he would have said, the age to come is the last days. See, the Jews were looking for the last days. The last days were the age of Messiah. In other words, when the Messiah comes, that will be the last days. We live in this present evil age. We're looking for the age or the world to come. And that will come when the Messiah gets here. He will bring the last days. In the last days, prophecy will be fulfilled. And in the last days, good will come because the Messiah will be here. You see, when we talk about the last days, we think evil. But to a Jew, the last days, that was good. That meant the Messiah was here. That meant the world to come was here. Now, that was what the Pharisees believed. The Sadducees denied the resurrection. They believed a little different. But this is what any conservative Jew in Jesus' day believed, that there was this age and then the age to come. The age to come would be brought in by the coming of the Messiah. That would be the last days. At that time, prophecies would be fulfilled. And they looked at the last days as a good time, the time when the Messiah would come and redeem Israel. The apostles basically agreed with that. They believed that because Jesus was the Messiah, they were in the last days. They proclaim that. Listen to this. This is the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now notice, Peter says this. He says, on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God was poured out and they were speaking in tongues and there was the sound of the rushing mighty wind, the cloven tongues of fire. Peter said, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel in the last days. In other words, what did Peter announce to the crowd on the day of Pentecost? You see what's happening? This is what Joel said would happen in the last days. So what was he proclaiming? Well, these are the last days. Why did he believe that those were the last days? Because he believed that Jesus was the Messiah. And when the Messiah came, you were in the last days. Listen to Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. the writer of the book of Hebrews. He said, in the past, God spoke by various prophets in various ways, but in these last days, He's spoken to us by His Son. Hebrews 9:26, for then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And so they announced that the last days were here. When they preached that Jesus was the Messiah, they were saying the last days are here, the Messiah has come. And they asked the Jews to believe that, and those that believed that Jesus was the Messiah did believe that the last days indeed were come. In the last days, the prophecies would be fulfilled. Now, let me say something. You won't understand this for a few minutes. But Revelation 19:10 says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That means, what is prophecy all about? It's all about Jesus. And where you have Jesus, you have the fulfillment of prophecy. Now, I know that's not making any sense right now. But when Jesus came, He fulfilled all the prophecies. You say, well, Brother Ron, that doesn't seem to make sense. How is that? Here's where it gets a little difficult, but if you'll listen, I think you'll get it. The Jews looked at time this way. You had this present evil age, and you had the world to come. And what the dividing point was the coming of Messiah. You had the present evil world, then the Messiah came, and then you had the world to come. But you know, everything that God does is more complex than it looks. It's like back before they had microscopes, they thought a cell of the human body was just a blob. Now we know it's very complex. And it's the same way in the Bible. The more you study, the more complex it becomes. Well, what do you and I know that the Jews in the Old Testament didn't know? We know that Jesus is coming twice. Okay, now that makes the picture a little more complicated, doesn't it? So you have the present evil time, and you have the last days, the days of Messiah. But what has happened now, we have two comings of Christ, and we got this time in between that we got to account for. Now, let's get back to something I said. I said that Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy. That the spirit testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now you say, Brother Ron, explain that. Well, the Jews believed that when Jesus came, that would be the advent of Messiah, that He would set up His kingdom, that there would be a resurrection, that there would be a judgment, that there would be a new creation. And if you would have asked the Apostle Paul before he was saved, when will that take place? He would say, when the Messiah comes. But I've already said, you and I know that the Messiah is coming twice. The first time He came to die on the cross, the second time He's coming to finish our redemption. Now, prophecy has two fulfillments, inauguration and consummation. And this goes along with the idea of two advents of Christ. Let me show you what I mean. Jesus is coming, but Jesus has already come. The kingdom is coming. One day God is going to set up His glorious kingdom, but the kingdom has already come. Those of us that are saved have been translated out of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. The resurrection is coming, but our salvation is described as you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. The judgment is coming, but already he that believeth is not condemned, and he that believeth not is condemned already. Those are legal words. They imply the decree of a judge. You know, the great white throne judgment doesn't decide who's saved and who's not saved. That's decided now by your relationship with Christ. Somebody says, well, surely the new creation's not here already. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so, the last days began with Christ. At His coming, they didn't start when Hubert Humphrey ran for president. They started when the Messiah got here. And the last days, being the days of Messiah, are the days when the prophecies would be fulfilled. But because He's coming twice, there's a twofold fulfillment. Now, you always expect the spiritual to come before the literal, or the, I shouldn't say the literal, the material or physical. Why? Well, think about this. What good would it do for Jesus to have a literal glorious kingdom on this earth if He didn't have some spiritually minded people who are already translated in the kingdom of God to be in it? What good would it do to have the resurrection of the body if you didn't have people that had new hearts? What good would it do to have a judgment if there weren't some that were already justified and that could already declared justified? And what good would it do to have a new heavens and a new earth if you didn't have new hearts and new people to inhabit that new creation? Amen. Now, this explains a lot, and I'm going to be brief. This explains a lot about prophecy. Now, somebody's going to say, okay, now, Brother Ron, you've told us these things, but what about the two texts that you began with, 2 Timothy 3:1? This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. You say, Brother Ron, what about those verses? Don't they teach that the last days are bad and that they're coming and that they're entirely negative? The answer to that question is no. They don't teach that at all. Let me tell you something. The New Testament does not contain any prophecies about the last days. You say, well, you just read two verses about the last days. Those weren't prophecies. Those were explanations. Now, let me show you what I mean by that. The Jews had the idea that when the last days got here, everything was sunshine. The Messiah is here. The prophecies are fulfilled. Everything's great. He's going to break the power of Rome. He's going to redeem Israel. Everything's wonderful. But it's a little more complicated than that, because you kind of have a mixing of the ages now. We live in a world that's still this present evil age, but the powers of the world to come have invaded the present time. You know, Paul says in Hebrews 6:5, he speaks of us having experienced the powers of the age to come. And so what the apostles are saying, now understand, the last days are wonderful. They are the days of Messiah. But there's still danger, because it's more complicated than you thought it was. Christ is coming twice in the period of time in which we live. Even though it's the last days, there's also perilous times. And there's also evil men. And so it was necessary to explain that, because if a Jew was saved until he understood that, he would think, well, these are the last days, no problems. But that's not the case. There's the mixture of good and evil. That is what our Lord was explaining in Matthew 13. The Jews had their own idea of what the kingdom was like, but those seven kingdoms of the parable, or those seven parables of the kingdom, were actually explaining the kingdom, and so that they would be relieved from their mistaken concept of the kingdom of God. This explains the Christian life. You and I are saved by the Messiah. We've experienced a spiritual resurrection. We're new creatures in Christ. We've been justified. We're in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we still wrestle with sin. And we still have old bodies that need to be redeemed. We're kind of between. And we still have the powers of this present evil age and the powers of the old man. And yet we're new men in Christ, and the gospel is the power of the age to come. And so it explains to us the nature of the Christian life. Now, maybe you're here today and you're not a Christian. You say, I don't want to be a Christian because Christians are old-fashioned. No, you're old-fashioned. You're the old man. And you're following that old serpent. And you're part of this old world system. We are not old-fashioned. We are future-fashioned. We have experienced the power of the age to come. Our souls have been spiritually resurrected, and we're part of the new creation. You say, one day there'll be a new heavens and a new earth. It's already started in us. And we're already in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so Christians, don't ever speak of a Christian as old-fashioned. We're the only thing around here that's not old-fashioned. Well, what can we say? I said I wouldn't be long. Christians, we're in the last days. Somebody says, oh. No, say it like this. We're in the last days. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That means the Messiah has come. That means that Christ has come. You say, Brother Ron, basically, what are the last days? Let me say it like this. These prophecy teachers say the last days is the period of time when the devil wins. No, that's not what the last days are at all. The last days are the period of Christ's mediatorial work. They began at Bethlehem, and they will end at the eternal state. The last days are the days in which Christ is carrying out his saving work and is taking dominion. Man, the last days are not about the devil winning. It's about Christ winning. And about Christ doing his work. Amen. Well, you can probably tell I don't have too high of an opinion of a lot of prophecy teachers. Especially the Bible and the newspaper type that want to do predicting. But I think what we learn by this is we all need to study the Bible independently. For instance, if you want to study prophecy, where should you begin? You say, in the book of the Revelation. Well, how about in the book of Genesis? How about we get the Old Testament and then we go to the New Testament? And, you know, every young preacher wants to preach through the book of Revelation. Man, that's not the place. You skipped over Daniel. You skipped over the Olivet Discourse. You skipped over the whole Old Testament. And it's no wonder people get confused. And as I say, you read a statement in the last days, perilous times shall come. Take time to study things like that. Is that a prophecy or is that an explanation? And when you get discouraged as a Christian, realize that there's a very real sense in which we are new creatures. There's a very real sense in which we're future. I'd like to say we're not old-fashioned, we're future-fashioned. Somebody wrote a book on this subject and they entitled it The Presence of the Future. That's what a Christian is. In a Christian, there's the resurrection and the kingdom and the new heavens and the new earth. It's the presence of the future. But study those things for yourself. And let's strive to have biblical views of what the Bible teaches. You know, this, I'm not an amillenarian. Maybe you don't know what that is. Amillenarian, somebody that believes we're in the millennium now. And my folks came from the mountains. All the preachers there were amillenarians. And that was kind of good for me because it gave me a perspective there. And I've heard people say, how can those crazy amillenarians think we're in the millennium now? Let me tell you how they think that. Because if you go to the Old Testament and read a verse that seems to be talking about the millennium, and you come to the New Testament will apply it to the gospel. So they said, well, that's the way the Lord intended us to interpret those things. Well, my answer to that is that there's an already and a not yet, and that every prophecy in the Old Testament that deals with the kingdom can be applied to the gospel. But that doesn't mean there's no future fulfillment out ahead. But however that is, let me end by saying this. People say you can't have souls saved in the last days. Peter had 3,000 saved on the day of Pentecost. That was the last days. There is, the Bible says there shall come a falling away. That's been going on for 2,000 years. That's why Christ had to write the seven epistles. That's why Paul had to write and reprove the churches. And there's always going to be a battle until Christ returns. But let me say this to you. Let us not have this pessimistic idea that we can't see souls saved today, that we don't expect to see God do anything because we live in the last days. When Paul was preaching the gospel, it was the last days. When George Whitefield preached to 50,000 coal miners as they came out of the coal mines, and their faces were black as coal, as if you've ever seen anybody come out of a coal mine. And he would preach to them 40 and 50,000. And soon there'd be a white stripe under each eye where the tears ran down and washed off the coal dust. And when Spurgeon preached to 40,000 in the Crystal Palace in London, you know when that was? That was in the last days. Now, we're not saying, we don't say that it's God's will to use us in the same way he used them necessarily, but let us not have an unscripturally pessimistic view and lose our trust in God and have ideas like it's worse now than it's ever been. My gracious, you ought to be able to read the Old Testament and know better than that. Okay, Brother Duke, that's just a little Bible study for you.